This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Altuve jumps him. Left center field. Back at the drag at the wall. It's gone. Jose Altuve on the first pitch goes deep with one out here in the first inning of game three. High fly ball into right. I'd say he likes hitting off Severino. Goodbye. Second deck. Josh Reddick has made it 2-0 Houston here in the second. Left side. Bregman gloves, throws, and got him. A dig out by Gurriel. And the Astros win game three, a final of 4-1.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Happy victorious ALCS Game 3 Wednesday. We'll see if there's a Game 4 tonight. But yesterday, pretty good day. Pretty good day if you're a Houston Astro fan. Gerrit Cole, 7 shutout innings. We heard those home runs early in the game, kind of allowing the Astros to breathe a little bit on the road in an afternoon Game 3 at Yankee Stadium. And the Astros do what they do, man. They have Gerrit Cole come in, pitch really well. Bullpen comes in, by and large, does the job. They get just enough offense to beat the New York Yankees 4-1. Lot to get to over the next 4 hours. Hope you're all having a good day. Stay dry out there, everybody. My name is Sean Pendergast. To my left is original Texan Seth Payne. Seth, how are you?
I'm very good, man. I don't want to say holding my breath, waiting to find out what happens with this potential rain delay or not. And some people thought the decision might have already been made last night. We'll monitor the situation. I doubt, look, you know the way it works in New York City. People don't even really get going until 10 a.m. in the morning. They like to present themselves as hustly, bustly, all that stuff. If you've ever visited New York, nothing gets going until 10 in the morning. It's a real pain in the butt for somebody that wakes up early. So we'll find out about that. The big victory last night was that headed into a bullpen day, the Astros used 3 relievers and the Yankees used 5.
Yes.
And the Yankees now would be going into a bullpen day with, for a team that loves to throw a bunch of different pitchers at you, their resources are limited.
Yeah, this weather today is a huge storyline. It's a gigantic storyline because of the way the first 3 games have played out. The fact that the Astros have been able to get into the bullpen in games 2 and 3 against the Yankees, getting to Paxton in the 3rd inning of game 2, and then getting to Severino, really from early on in the game yesterday, that the fact that they made him throw 36 pitches in the first inning, that was as much a win. That almost canceled out the fact that they left the bases loaded in the first inning.
If,
you know, you'd almost ask yourself, would you rather they be up 2-0 and not leave anybody on in the first inning, or be up 1-0 and get Severino to throw 36 pitches? Probably 2-0 just because runs are really important. But, man, it would be a point of discussion just because of how important pitch count is in baseball nowadays anyways, more important than it used to be. But because of the particular game coming up, hopefully today, where it's a bullpen game and both teams are in all likelihood going to be cobbling together this game, that's why the Astros, if you're an Astro fan, you want this game to be played today. The Yankees bullpen is way more taxed than the Astros right now.
I could go either way with it because even if they don't play this game today, then that means that they're going to play 4 games in a row. Both teams, obviously, would have played 4 games in a row. But the Yankees, in having to rely on their bullpen, would end up being way more taxed by that. It's just you don't reap the rewards of that as quickly.
I want the instant gratification.
Yeah, I've got this. You've got a chance to pounce right now.
Right.
Pounce away. You didn't use Presley yesterday. You could. There's reason to feel pretty damn good about the bullpen, the Astros bullpen today. But then now, of course, you go to how great does anybody feel about Greinke? I don't care about that because you still get, if you win today, you got 2 more home games to close this thing out.
That's the biggest thing about the game yesterday. And let's focus on the game yesterday for a second. That's, to me, Seth, the biggest thing about the game yesterday, and I said this yesterday to you, is that what's at stake today, what was at stake yesterday, was if Gerrit Cole wins that game, you have clinched a worst-case scenario in this series that even if the Astros get blistered in games 4 and 5, they could get destroyed in the next two games. Winning yesterday clinches the worst-case scenario being Minute Maid Park, Game 6, Game 7, Verlander, and Cole. Oh. The Astros have that, provided neither of them get abducted by aliens or something. You've got Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, Game 6, Game 7 at home. That is a worst-case scenario that's happening. The best case is they close this thing out in 5.
On full rest, and there's so much to get into from yesterday's game. One, I would say that it's a testament to how great Cole is that it looks like he's struggling, and it's a shutout. That's just how damn good he is. And you have to. I'm not worried that all of a sudden maybe Cole is faltering a little bit from his brilliance during the regular season, because the flat out fact of the matter is he's facing a really good baseball team that's got a plan versus him, and he was still throwing 99 in the 7th inning. It wasn't like he hadn't lost any velocity or anything.
If there were something to be concerned about with Cole, just with respect to how he's looked the last couple starts, really yesterday in particular, would you be more concerned over the 5 walks or the 7 strikeouts? Right? Like, because that was the first time he hasn't had double-digit strikeouts in months. I think 11 straight starts he had double-digit strikeouts, and he never walks 5 guys. Yeah. He barely ever walks 1 or 2 guys, let alone 5 guys. What concerns you, if you're concerned about Cole? Doesn't sound like you're concerned about Cole, but if you were concerned about one of those things, what would it be?
I'd be concerned about the walks, if it's showing any lack of a control or what have you. You know what's funny? Whatever was going on with the broadcast where they didn't have the electronic strike zone out there, it's weird, like, the psychology of the viewer, and several different people made jokes about this, but I think it's true. You almost feel like when the strike zone came back, like, oh, good, now he's got something to aim at. And I swear, when the strike zone came back up on the screen, he was painting the outline of that thing. Obviously, he can't actually see the electronic strike zone, but it made me feel better. I felt like all of a sudden, like, oh, look at that, the control is back. Also, I don't want to discount the fact that the umpire was diagnosed with a concussion yesterday.
Yeah, the home plate umpire's in protocol now.
That's got to freak you out a little bit to all of a sudden have to adjust to a new strike zone as a pitcher or a batter.
That's true. Well, you've seen the movie RoboCop from back in the day.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes they'd give you, it pops up on cable quite frequently of late. You know, sometimes they give you that first person point of view through the eyes of RoboCop, like through that helmet.
Yeah,
and you see, like, all the different data that he's seeing in his field of view. Mm-hmm. In addition to seeing whatever's in front of him, he's seeing all this different data and things like that, you know, identifying people and who it is he's looking at. Could it be that Cole is like that, and like that he's like this cyborg?
And that
the strike zone pops up for him like that in his field of view?
I'm sure that Yankees fans will accuse the Astros of that at some point.
Did they turn Gerrit Cole into a RoboCop-like cyborg?
If you were one of those cool pitchers that wear the sports specs or something, they would definitely claim that those are like Google glasses. That he can see.
Why are the Yankee fans a bunch of big babies?
Well, the Yankees fans and Ray fans are convinced that anytime anything good happens for the Astros, it's because they're cheating.
Yeah.
So by that logic, yesterday when the pitcher and the catcher got crossed up for the Astros, then it must mean that the Yankees are also using satellites from space to steal signs, right?
Right.
If the Astros, because that's been the evidence, that's been the sum total of the evidence that the Rays and the Yankees have offered up. It's like, wow, do you see that? Our pitchers and catchers are taking extra measures to be sure nobody steals their signs, so the Astros must be cheating. Yeah, it's playoff baseball.
It's
I forgive Rays fans because they don't know what the playoffs are like.
Right.
But I don't forgive Yankees fans. They've been to the playoffs in recent years. They understand the deal.
Not only have they been there, they remind you every 5 minutes that they've been there. Here is A.J. Hinch on Gerrit Cole.
And obviously, it goes without saying that at any time you can target another day for him to pitch, it feels pretty good. I think there's a lot of baseball left to play before that factors in. But he's, I think he's the best pitcher in baseball right now. I mean, his competition is right next to him in the clubhouse. And they're certainly good pitchers. I watch what Strasburg's doing. I see what Scherzer's doing. DeGrom in this city. I mean, there's a lot of big names. But obviously I'm biased to my guys. But Gerrit is locked in. And to see him do it on the big stage in a playoff game with the magnitude of this game, it was pretty awesome.
Headline porn. Hinch thinks Verlander not as good as Cole.
That's right. Yeah, that's pretty much what was going on.
You see
there.
Him starting something between his two aces right there?
I was listening to what Trinos was saying about Verlander's lack of control in the last start on short rest.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because he was saying, Verlander was saying it might have been something with his grip or something. But anyway, I'm not nervous about it at all. It sounded like they knew exactly what was going on with Verlander. He thought about going back to his old slider.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Cole, I'm not worried about him. I thought that yesterday in the first inning, just like that game in the Rays series where they pounced in the first inning, basically where Glasnow had been tipping his pitches, so they had a plan versus Glasnow. They knew what was coming, which is perfectly and totally acceptable, everybody.
It's inbounds.
Don't be like these clown commentators that act like electronically stealing signs is the same thing as a pitcher tipping his pitches. That's just normal. Oh, the pitcher's tipping his pitches. Yeah, I'm going to take advantage of that. That's perfectly 100% above board. Anyway, what they did is they had a really good plan versus Severino yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like what they were doing was telling the Astros batters, look, swing at anything that's not a fastball in the upper part of the zone, and you'll have some success.
Yeah.
And Altuve gets a home run. And just they had a really good plan early on in the game. And Severino, to his credit, adjusted to it. I can't believe he stayed in as long as he did. You're sitting there, I was counting my eggs before they were hatched, or counting my chickens before they hatched in the first inning. I thought he was going to be gone by the third inning, no problem.
I thought he'd be gone by the third inning, and I thought for sure he'd be gone when they had the concussion delay for the umpire.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
came in after that. So, yeah, credit Severino. He recovered nicely in that game. Unfortunately, they're playing the best team in baseball, and you've got to be your margin for error is very, very thin. You know what this game reminded me of, Seth? The Altuve. Well, first, let's hear from Altuve. Altuve, we heard that home run in the open to the show. Here is Jose Altuve on his first inning home run.
I think everybody knows I like swinging the bat. You know, I don't like wasting too much time on the home play. But I wasn't looking for a slide. I was just looking something that I could drive. And, you know, thanks God I hit the ball out, because for us it's really important to score before they do, because, you know, that give us confidence and just the advantage.
This is something I never thought I'd say 4 years ago, let's say, when Jose Altuve was an all-star, winning batting titles, getting 200 hits a year, but getting like 8 home runs. I never thought in 4 years I would be saying something like this, that Jose Altuve has now hit 12 home runs in the postseason. The only players who have hit more postseason home runs in history in their first 40 games in the postseason, he's now played 40 games in the postseason, are Nelson Cruz, 16, Carlos Beltran, 16, Babe Ruth, 15, and Mickey Mantle, 13. Jose Altuve is next at 12
yeah.
in his first 40 games. I mean, when you think about how many great power hitters, and granted, he lives in a different age now than some of those hitters do and so forth, but the dude's 5'5", 100 and nothing pounds, and he's got 12 home runs in his first 40 playoff games. You know what that home run reminded me of, Seth? Maybe because it happened in Yankee Stadium. Remember the wild card game back in 2015 when they went to Yankee Stadium and Dallas Keuchel pitched and Colby Rasmus hit that home run in the second inning that kind of allowed Astro fans and probably the Astros themselves just to sort of breathe a little bit? Now, this is an Astro team that's much more seasoned than that team in 2015, obviously, but that was a similar feeling I got from Altuve's home run yesterday. Was it happened, he's the second batter in the game. It really kind of just popped the balloon for the Yankees early on, and the crowd never really got into it or anything like that.
Yeah. And, the crowd, they got into it. I mean, they threw stuff at Reddick. I think that's what they live for now, is just throwing stuff at Reddick.
Yeah.
That's where they're in.
You called that one yesterday.
Well, I mean, Reddick kind of called it himself. Yeah. Reddick pointed out how vile and loathsome they are out there.
He clinched a throw-in yesterday.
Bad human beings. Every time I saw an angry person in right field,
now
knowing that they say things about people's moms and wives, it made me feel good. I was
not
hoping,
classy.
Some of those guys, they looked like the classic angry New Yorker that is screams about everything for no good reason.
Right.
And I was hoping that one of them would fall. I was hoping when they took the throwing debris onto the field, I was hoping they would start launching each other onto the field. Like, throw this fat guy onto Reddick. Maybe that'll hurt him. No, throw this guy. And not to mention, this non-juiced ball, it's added so much drama. All these balls that now you've been trained all season long that when you hear and see a certain launch angle, that thing's flying out of the... And now all of a sudden it's on the warning track?
The Gregorius, with two men on, the Gregorius fly ball to end the sixth inning, I think it was the sixth inning, was absolutely terrifying. that was absolutely terrifying. Reddick catches it right in front of the wall.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.